Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ty's Commute and Games Podcast. Does that sound right? Ty's Commute and Game Podcast. Actually, it does sound pretty good. Anyways, welcome back. This is the afternoon segment of my podcast on my drive home, and today is September 13th, 2012. Yeah, forget that part. I think I'll avoid the sound effect. Anyways, so today I talked about my arcade, and I figured in the afternoon I'll talk about something else. So I'm going to talk about the new Wii U. Nintendo yesterday released the price and a little more details about the system. And I'm just going to step back before I even get into the Wii U. I'm just going to tell you that I was the biggest Nintendo fanboy back in the day. I had the NES back in 1987, 87 or 86, whatever. I had it after the initial test market, but I got it right in the beginning. I had the action set, I believe it was called. I did not have the ROB, although I always wanted the ROB, but really, in reality, it's probably for the best because ROB is pretty much a collector's item more than anything else, because Gyromite, while is interesting for about 5 minutes, isn't really much of a game. And Stack Up was enormously expensive to just buy the Stack Up game in blocks and add them on top. Now, if you had those in the box, like my friend Matt does, matter of fact, check out his website, videogameobsession.com. You can see he's got a complete black box set, all in the box of the Nintendo cartridges from the beginning, and those are worth a ton of money. And he's got an amazing collection. He's got some, his website is, details are pretty good, but his photos are a little out of date. I would love to go over there and take a video camera and just record his collection, because it's really impressive. But anyways, back to it. So just to give you an idea, I'm a Nintendo fanboy, had the NES, had the Game Boy, had the Super NES, had the N64. Everybody else had the PlayStation, the Saturn. I had the N64. Now, I did have a Genesis and some other systems too, but when it comes down to it, I was Nintendo before anything else. So if I had to choose between the next system that came out, it would be the Nintendo first before anything else. So that was great. I mean, I had the GameCube when that came out, and then the Wii came out. And I don't know, it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. So I didn't get the Wii when it launched. As a matter of fact, I didn't get the Wii for a long time. I did end up getting a used Wii, and I bought it specifically for my daughter so she could play some Pokemon. What was the Pokemon game? Pretty sure it was the Pokemon game was the reason I bought it. I think for the Pokemon Park game, and I bought her the sequel to it as well. And I really haven't bought any games for it. I picked up New Super Mario Brothers Wii, or Wii, and that game's alright. I finished it. I didn't unlock every coin yet. I actually enjoyed the DS version way more than I did the Wii U one. The Wii version. It wasn't as fun as playing it on the DS. And again, I had the DS, I had the Game Boy, I had the Game Boy Advance, the Game Boy Micro, a whole bunch of those. Every console that Nintendo came out with. I even had the Virtual Boy. And if you've seen it, I built myself a Virtual Boy arcade cabinet, and I sold it, and that was hard to do. But I did sell it so I could buy my Star Trek Next Generation pinball machine, so it was an even swap. And if you ever want to see it, Nathan Barnett's got it, Keith Apicary. He has it in his house, if you could ever get over to his house. I don't know if he lets visitors in, but it's in some of his videos he's got, and you know, I want to congratulate him on his new show on Adult Swim. That's really cool. But as you can see, big Nintendo fanboy, got a ton of Nintendo games. And the Wii came out, and I was not really thrilled with it. Got the Mario game for it. Got Tatsunoko versus Capcom, because I'm a huge Capcom fan. And that was really disappointing as well. It's so dumbed down. It's not really a very good fighting game, at least in my opinion. You hear a tractor trailer here. with his jig break on. You know, played the Mario 1, and I actually picked up Zelda Skyward Sword. I got that at Target back when there was an accidental advertising at Kmart of listing the game for $15, I think it was. And while Kmart didn't honor the price, I took the ad to Target, and they honored the advertised price and gave me Skyward Sword with the collector's disc and everything for $15. So I couldn't pass that up, and I played a little bit of it. I got to tell you, it's a decent game, but the control interface, I cannot stand swinging that Wii U remote around. I just don't understand. It makes me feel so stupid, and I've got end up with tennis elbow, my shoulder hurting me. You know, I'm not a little kid anymore. You know, I can't just swing my arm around. I mean, I can play for a while, but, you know, when you're playing Zelda, you play for a long time. And it took me a while to beat the first boss, I can't think of his name right now. I haven't played much past that. I just beat the first temple, and then I stopped playing it. I'll probably get back to it. But to be honest with you, I never even finished Twilight Princess on the GameCube. I played Zelda back when it was brand new and loved the game. Thought it was just awesome. Thought it was such a great game. And then Zelda 2 came out, and, you know, it was a little disappointing in one way, because I was hoping for more of the same, but it was different, and that was good. And I really enjoyed the game. So it was, you know, it's a whole new kind of game to play. And, you know, people panic nowadays because it's like, well, you're walking over a map, but it's not any different than playing Final Fantasy or anything like that, except for you got some action. So you still got the action going on, which is good. It's like playing Super Mario Brothers, you know? Zelda Link to the Past on Super Nintendo, and I was like, whoa, what just happened here? Because it was like playing the NES game with so much more to do. You know, the graphics were better, and that was cool. I mean, I really loved the new graphics, the better sound, but it was like, you know, it was something about, it's something new. You know, you're doing more things, you're traveling to other worlds, new items. The gameplay is different. You're doing the thing where it's that Japanese thing where you trade this item for that item for that item for that item. You know, going from person to person. And I forget what that's called. There's actually something in Japan that they call that. It's a kind of a tradition thing or a folklore story, which got put into the game. And it's a lot of fun to do that. You know, on the scope of a Super Nintendo game. And, you know, and then it came out for the N64, and that game was just truly, it was just such a fantastic game. It was just so awesome, because now you're doing it in 3D, you're aiming at things, it was awesome to play that game. And, you know, it wasn't too big. I mean, it started to get a little annoying. There was a few things that were about the N64 Zelda that were a little bit annoying, like catching every single golden sculpture. And I'm the kind of person that, you know, can't play a game without getting every single thing. So you're like, meanwhile, you're hunting down every golden sculpture and getting all the big poses. And those things are a little annoying. You know, you're playing it and you're like, why? You know, this isn't really fun. This is just annoying. You know, it's like, okay, I got to get them. And it's annoying. You know, I guess real life is like that, but I'm playing a game, and I want it to be fun. I don't want to be annoyed while I'm playing a game. So, but that was such a small portion of the game. I mean, it really, I forget what it does for you to get all of them, but, you know, you can beat the game without doing it, and it was only 100 of them, and you had a few hints on it. And so it was fine, and I played that game, and I thought that game was just the best. Loved that game. And then Zelda's is the perfect example of what is wrong with Nintendo now. So then they made Wind Waker on the GameCube. And, you know, at the time it came out, I was like, what the hell is this? Because it was that cartoon shit, you know, just garbage look to it. I was like, what is this? It's like, this is not Jet Grind Radio. This is Zelda. And it really bugged me at first. But then I looked at my the manual for the original NES Zelda, and the artwork in there really kind of looks a lot like Wind Waker. And so I was like, all right, well, we'll give it a, you know, I kind of ignored that. You know, I played the game, and there were still some fun parts to it, but man, what still annoyed me was the ocean and just sailing and failing and sailing to places, and they're like vast voids of just, you're on the water sailing, and just to get to some tiny little area you're going to play in. And so I was annoyed. It's like, everything's so small. I mean, you got this huge world, and everything's tiny. And so, you know, played the game, and meanwhile, the whole time, I'm like, when am I going to get on some land? When am I going to get on some land, you know? And I want to get down to under the water. And finally, you get under the water. It's the end of the game, and you can't get anywhere except for into the castle. It's like a tiny little area you can go still. I mean, it looks huge. It looks like you're in the land of Hyrule, and you got the Hyrule Castle. You make it in there, and you fight Ganon. Whoop-de-doo, you beat the game, and it's over. And I'm like thinking, okay, the water's going to go down. Nope, the water doesn't go down. So I'm like, what the hell is this? What happened to the original? Is this in the Zelda world, or is this some alternate reality? Because all the other Zeldas take place within, you know, at least at the time when they came out, you know, not revisionist history like Lucas does. But when the time they came out, they said, okay, well, the first Zelda is, you know, at the first NES Zelda came out. And then Link to the Past Link's Adventure? Zelda 2, Link's Adventure? That takes place after that, and that's a different Zelda. That's a Zelda in the past. And then Link to the Past actually takes place before those first two games in the past, and that's how Ganon, you know, there's a whole story about, you know, Ganon being sealed and you know, having that piece of the Triforce. And then you've got Ocarina of Time, and that takes place before all of those, at least as far as at the time when that game came out, they said it was before all of them, and that, you know, that's the origin of Ganon. You know, he was this guy Ganondorf, you know, who was a man, well, a Gerudo, you know, he's not a Hyrulean, he's a different race, but, you know, he's a green-skinned guy, you know, and then he got transformed into Ganon. Through the Triforce, etc., and the stupid mistake you make in the game where you pull the Master Sword out for some reason. Your character is a big dumbass, but whatever, that's fine. You know, that's kind of like a very Japanese thing anyways, where you try to do good, but in reality, you end up doing the thing that the bad guy wants you to do. Matter of fact, there's an anime I watch right now, and that's exactly what happens in it. I mean, it's so typical, but that's fine. It's, you know, a lot of the games we play are very influenced. We're, you know, us Americans playing these games, we don't realize it, but the stories in these games are just based on Japanese folklore that already existed, you know, or just the way they tell stories. And, you know, when you start watching Japanese television via anime or their dramas or reading stories, you kind of learn this, and you're like, oh, they're just telling some traditional story, just like we do. We retell the stories that we already had, you know? Where was I? You know, so now we're talking about the games, Ocarina of Time's great, then Majora's Mask comes out. And improvement in graphics, a little weird because you're in some alternate dimension. It's kind of like a fun romp, but again, now it's become more annoying because now you've got this time travel point part to it. And so you're time traveling in this game. You start out, a lot of you guys already know this, you're in this other, you fall through the hole, like kind of like Alice in Wonderland, and you're in this place where the moon, which has a face, is coming down towards the planet. Now, I don't know if it's Hyrule, because they call it Hyrule Field, it's called Hyrule Field when you're in the one area, so it's like an alternate dimension, kind of like the mirror world in Zelda, but not, because it's not the mirror world, nobody's transformed, and the people in the other place I can't even remember. Are the characters, or like Malin and Talon? Yes, Malin and Talon and all those characters are in this other world too. So it's an alternate, I would say it's an alternate reality. And the only person that knows the alternate reality besides yourself is the masked salesman. And anyways, the point is, The point being is that, so you're playing this other reality, and you got to travel through time. You got to go, you know, the moon is going to crash into the planet after X number of days, and what you have to do the first time through is before the moon crashes, you got to find the Ocarina of Time, and you got to get it back from the Skull Kid. And once you get it back, you can use the Ocarina of Time and travel back to the time when you first came to this alternate dimension. And that doesn't seem all that annoying, because you're like, okay, I go back and I can just do more things again. But the thing is the things that you did in the game become undone. So in other words, you save somebody from being robbed and they give you something. Now, that thing will unlock something else that allows you to get some item, which you can carry your items with you, and you have a notebook. It tells you when things are going to happen, but that thing you unlocked might unlock something else that you need to do later on, so you've got to save the person again. And so it's cute at first, but then it starts getting annoying, because you got to do like the same tasks over and over again sometimes, just so that you can, you know, unlock or go to the next level, get the other item that you didn't have. Sometimes it's fun because, like, okay, well, now I'm going to do it differently. So instead of doing this, I'm going to not do it, and then something else happens which allows me to do that other thing that I needed to do. Or I've got an item that allows me to bypass that particular event. So there are things that are less, that it's not completely annoying. But then the time when you're like, okay, now I got to go through the whole timeline again, do all these things all over again, that's when it gets annoying. It's just starting to get a little too real, although it's not real because you're doing alternate reality and time travel and stuff like that, but it's just like life. You get up in the morning, you eat your breakfast, you take a shower, you get up, you take a shower, you get dressed, you eat your breakfast, you get in the car, you drive to work, you get to work, you do work all day, you eat your lunch, you work some more, you get in the car, you drive home, you get home, you get changed, you put your kids to bed, you feed your kids, you put your kids to bed, you get in bed, you fall asleep, you wake up, and you start all over again. You know, and a game is supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be real. I think game developers have gotten this idea in their head that the best thing about a game is realism. And it's not, because the games that I used to play as a kid weren't real at all. Pac-Man? Come on, Pac-Man. If you saw Pac-Man in the real world, you would be freaked out. You're like, what is this freaking guy? He's just a big head. He's eating dots and ghosts, no less. He's being chased by ghosts through a maze. You know, that's not real. It's not realistic at all, but it's fun, you know? Some things, you know, you got Galaga, one of my favorite games, your spaceship shooting alien bugs. A little more realistic in that, you know, we have, like, you got in war, you're flying planes, you're shooting down enemy planes. You know, it's kind of like that a little bit. But it's still, it's simplified. You know, it doesn't get annoying unless the annoying part is just shooting alien bugs. There's complex games where you're doing complex things, and they're still fun. I mean, like, you know, the original Zelda. You know, you're always making your... I hate to say word progress because it makes me think of progressive and political things, but you're always progressing in the game. You're always doing something and achieving more. It doesn't feel like you're doing, like you've achieved something. I got that item, and now I beat that temple, and I got this item, and now I'll go on to the next temple, I get the item there, I get this thing. You know, it's not repetitive, and that's what makes a game bad. Back in the NES games, the games that you had to keep doing the same thing over were the ones that pissed you off and you hated them. And, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, realism in a game where you repeat a task or you're just doing the stupid thing like collecting every single Skulltula, Golden Skulltula, or in some of these newer games, I mean, doing all these minutia things. You just like, why? Why do I have to do all this shit before I can have some fun? You know, okay, I want to just go on the next temple. I want to beat the boss, you know? And sometimes in Zelda, like, for example, in Twilight Princess, some of the temples are annoying because you're playing it and you gotta, like, and even in Ocarina of Time, even in the Super Nintendo, or even in the NES, they still had a few annoying things. Like, you know, you're playing in the temple and the wall master comes out and grabs you and brings you back to the beginning. Now, that's annoying and you hate that, but it's a little bit of like, okay, you know, it's just in the NES, you're talking maybe 5 minutes to get back to where you were, you know? And, you know, you're not busting your controller yet. When it happens 5 times, then you get really, really pissed off, and then you start breaking controllers. But at least on Zelda, that, you know, if you don't figure out how wall masters work after getting caught about 5 times, then you're an idiot, because all you got to do is kill them before they get you. So, you know, but the first few times it is annoying. You know, in Metroid, that hole that's invisible, and you walk and you fall down in the Brinstar, whichever level it is, and you're like, oh, I got to go back, you know. That's annoying, you know, those invisible holes in the ground. Like, why? Well, you're going to be walking real life, and you're going to see a hole, and you're not going to walk around it, you know? So that's, you know, this. I mean, even those old games had those annoying things. But now it's escalated. It's become almost like a part, it's like the part of the game the developers focus on. How can we annoy people, you know? And so now you got, so we've moved on. Majora's Mask, got those annoying things. And I started to talk a little bit about Twilight Princess. And Twilight Princess looks great. And it just looks awesome. And then, you know, when you look at the pictures and they talk about the game review and you see the overworld and you see how big Hyrule Field is and how large the maps are, you're like, wow, that's awesome. Huge map. I mean, that's, I mean, because I was playing the N64 one, and I remember thinking, like, this is such a small area I'm playing in. You know, I wish it would be bigger. And you know what? That was a mistake, because it was too, now it's too big. And I got this huge map, and you're trying to find these items, and there's like trees here, there's holes there. You know, in the original NES Zelda, remember the bombing the walls on every stage or burning every single tree? You know, you didn't need to do that, because it was, most of the things in there are just, you know, money for a shop, something like that. You know, you don't need to do it. You know, you got to get the ones with the heart containers in them, obviously. And there's, some of the levels are hidden like that. But, you know, those things, there's clues to do those. And the other ones are just like, hey, you want to waste some time playing the game and find everything in it. It's not really annoying, because you don't have to do every one. And it's kind of like, you don't feel like it's part of the, like a requirement to the game. It's, the Golden Skulltulas, they feel like it's a requirement, because you get an item that's an item in the game that you want. You get the bigger purse for each one you get. And the same thing, you know, as you go along, there's more annoying items, annoying things. And so now you're playing this gigantic world. So the items you have to find are either really obvious, because now you got a huge crack in a wall somewhere, because you got to show it, because it's so, the overworld's so big. It's like a needle in a haystack to find something. So now they got to be really obvious, or you just miss it. Or, you know, so now you're just running around, you know, I'm going to, you know, bomb underneath every tree. No, you know, it's now just become, you just run over everything. And so I played it, you know, and I got, I was actually started playing it again, and I beat the the alternate universe or the mirror world guy, and now I've unlocked Hyrule Castle. And but, you know, for a long time, I just let it sit for, like, 2 years at that point, because I just beat that stage, and I stopped playing it, because, number one, I didn't have every item. I didn't find every bug, you know, that bug collection thing. I didn't have all the heart containers that I should have had. I mean, I had a bunch of them, but there's more to be had at that point, and there's the there's the fortune teller person, I think it is, that will show you where something might be or where it is, but it's kind of like a vague hint. It's like here in this area. And so you're like, you know, run around. Now, you know, and then it's like, okay, well, then maybe I'll just look it up in GameFAQ. So you bring up the GameFAQ, and it's like a mile long of all the things to find. And it's so, the world's so big that they have to, they try to describe where the item is. But, you know, it's like a pain because you can't find it easily. Because the thing is, you know, it's the world's so big. So that's kind of my annoyance. That's my annoyance with Twilight Princess. The game is actually pretty good. I love the graphics, the step back to the Ocarina Time graphics. That was really cool. I like that. The gameplay is really well. I played it on the GameCube. I did not buy the Wii version because at the time I didn't have the Wii. And I was also, like, I do not want to play Zelda with a swinging a remote around. And so then we move on, and I'm going to just talk a little bit about the Skyward Sword game. And I got to say, it's interesting because they took it back to Wind Waker. Instead of being on the ocean, now you're in the sky. And, you know, I was like, man, this is really annoying. Because, like, the game actually, when you're in the little main town area, this floating island, it's kind of neat. The game is actually kind of fun. The biggest negative on it is the controls, because it's just annoying. It's like, I don't need to swing my... Why would I want to swing my arm around? If I want to swing my arm around, I just get a real sword, and I'd swing it around, you know? I go, like, hack up a tree. I don't know, something like that. Or I play, you know, play real tennis, you know? I don't understand this need to make it so that you're swinging your arm and something on TV happens. If it were like Star Trek, and I were in a holodeck, and I had a real sword in my hand, or like a fake, you know, plastic sword, whatever, and they were holographic enemies that I could stab, that would be great. I would love that, you know? That's great. That's really cool. But you're detached. You're not in the world anyways. You're looking at a TV screen. So essentially, you're pantomiming what your character's doing. And that's not... I don't see that as fun, you know? If I'm watching it on a TV screen, what's the difference if I'm using a controller? So that game would be 100% better if you were using a regular-style game controller. I mean, it worked. The Wii worked well for Nintendo. They sold it to a bunch of people who don't play it. So, real gamers, some people are just Nintendo freaks. I consider myself a Nintendo fanboy, at least I was. But that killed it for me. That Wii U, I mean, not just the Wii. The Wii killed Nintendo for me. And so then I'm playing. So anyway, so back to Skyward Sword. That's cool. And I got really annoyed with the flying part. Thought it was a lot like the ocean. Except for now it's like, it's a little more annoying because now you got to fly and the controls suck because you're using the Wiimote and tilting it. And that's really annoying because, like, if you were in real world, you know, to be realistic controls, you would either if you're a jet flying, you're using a joystick, you know? You know, if you're flying a fighter jet, you're using a joystick. If you're an airliner, you're using a yoke, right? Actual controls to fly a flying object. And, you know, okay, we'll take the analogy of you're on a bird, right? So you would think it's going to be a little bit more like flying a horse. You know, if you had, like, a flying horse, you would use the reins. And kind of like a yoke. So you'd have reins, which are kind of like controls, really. And that's how you would fly it. You're not gonna tilt the bird. You know, you're not tilting the bird. If it's going to be realistic, you know, like you're using a sword, then the controls should be more like you're pulling back on the reins. You should be using the Wiimote and the nunchuck as like reins to fly the bird. So you pull one way and you would go left, you pull another way, go right. Pull them both, you go up. Push them both forward, you go down. You know, that's how I would envision the way the controls should work, because your brain, at least with me, I'm playing the game as I'm running around as Link, and I'm using the sword. So I'm using the nunchuck to control Link, make him run around. Okay, so that moves him, and the sword is the attack. Now all of a sudden I'm on the bird, right? Now I'm playing it differently. I'm using the Wiiboat to move, and the nunchuck does nothing. So all right. So I'm thinking, well, why don't I use the nunchuck to fly? You know, just use the analog stick on it. That would make sense. But they're wanting a little realism, so that's where I'm saying, okay, well, then use the nunchuck and the Wiimo as, like, reins. You're pulling on the reins to fly the bird. That would make sense, you know? Because now I've got to switch modes now. So now I'm going from a realistic standpoint. All right, I'm running, so the analog stick is my legs running, and the Wiimo is the sword. And I swing it to attack, you know, or I aim with it. And now, once I've done that, now I'm switching over, and my whole mode is switching. So now the left hand was my motion. Now my right hand is my motion. And so your brain has to switch. You're getting all confused. And then the aim gets off. So you got to recenter it. That's annoying. So that is, it's like getting in the way. It doesn't feel real at all. So you're trying to make something real, and all you've done is just make it not real. And some people, I guess, can get past that, or they don't even notice it. I don't know what it is. That's my annoyance with that game. The levels are actually pretty good. So, and to get back to the whole overworld thing, so I'm not so bothered by the flying part, because at least in this game, the flying part doesn't do a lot. It's just to get you from level to level. And it's not as huge as the water was in Wind Waker. You kind of can get places quicker. You got those little speed up portions. And so I'm not as annoyed by it, because what I liken it to is the castle in Mario 64. Because essentially the castle, you could play, there's little things you could do in it, but for the most part, the castle is just your level select. Okay, so I'm going on the next level. I want to go back to level. So it's like the map in, Super Mario World or Mario 3. So it's just a map. You know, it's like, it just gets you from these other places. So, whereas Ocarina of Time was one big continuous connected world, and the same thing for the most part with Twilight Princess, in this game, it's worlds. You know, it's more like Mario. You go to this world, you do some stuff. You go to the next world, you do some stuff. So I think what it does is, the Wii is such limited hardware compared to the 360 and the PS3. I mean, you're playing on a GameCube with a little more memory and a slightly faster processor. So you're still playing GameCube games. So, you know, don't kid yourself about the Wii as being as a next generation console. It's not. They could have just made the Wiimote for the GameCube and made all those games. Because look at it. Look at Twilight Princess on the GameCube. Look at Twilight Princess on the Wii. They're the same game. They don't look any different. And if you put, like, I've got the component video cables for my GameCube, and I have it hooked up, and I run it 480p mode. It doesn't, a GameCube game and a Wii game really don't look that much different. I mean, if you look at Mario Kart Double Dash, and then the other Mario Kart game, there's a few improvements. You got some more textures here and there. That's just because of memory. You got more memory, fast processors, you got a few more polygons. But when it comes down to it, that game, with the newer development tools they've got, probably could have been put on the GameCube with a slight downgrade. Not much. So, you know, Nintendo was really, they're really smart at the time, because they were able to essentially sell everybody a GameCube, hardware that's really old now, to everybody all over again, and people that had never bought a GameCube. So the GameCube was like, it was like the precursor to the Wii in the fact that they tried to simplify things. And they kind of failed on that. You know, the GameCube was fun. I enjoyed my GameCube. There's a lot of good games for it. The button layout is a little wacky, and it kind of scared people away, because that's what Nintendo does. They make things, or at least they did, they make controllers, if you don't count the NES, really. Every Nintendo and the game and the handheld games, but every Nintendo system after the NES had something that made it look confusing. The Super Nintendo with its four buttons and two trigger buttons, and the select and start buttons. There's a lot of buttons going on there, and I know some people get a little intimidated with all those buttons. To me, it's like no big deal. You know, like most gamers, they don't see that it's like that. You know, someone looks at a DualShock controller, and they're just like, whoa! You know, it's like looking at a piano, you know? But, you know, I'm just rambling and I'm ranting on this, but, so, you know, you kind of get my idea of what I'm talking about with the, with what Nintendo's doing and how I'm annoyed by them, you know, at least with the way they do their games. But the other portion of that, we're going to start a little section, another section to this, is the fact that not only do they sell their same hardware over and over again, like, for example, you've got your Game Boy, then you've got your Game Boy Color, Game Boy, Game Boy Pocket, Game Boy Pocket Light, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Color, then they came out with the Game Boy Advance, then they came out with the Game Boy Advance Light, you know, the folding one that opens up, then they improved it with a brighter screen, and of course I got one of those, because the screen was not very bright, you know, it was a front-lit game, now it's backlit, so it was immensely better. And then, as you know, in the original Game Boy Advance, was so dismal, the display was so bad on it, but the games were good. But the display was so bad that the developers actually lightened up the colors so that when you play them on a later system, they all look washed out. Like, for example, if I'm playing Street Fighter 2 on the Game Boy Light, or whatever it's called, the folding Game Boy with the brighter screen on it, the characters are all washed out because of it. You know, and then once the system had been out for a while, the newer, brighter one, they didn't stop doing that with the games. And then they came out with a Micro. Now, that Micro, I love that Micro, because it is so much fun. You can't play the original Game Boy games on it, but it's so tiny, it fits right in your pocket. So that was actually a really good thing they did there. I love the Micro. I still play it. But then they came out with a DS. And I got the original DS. And then they made another DS. The DS Lite. And I didn't get the DS Lite, but I got it for my wife and my daughter. Then they came with the DSi. You know, we all know how it goes. And then they came out with the 3DS. Then the 3D... the DS XL, or iXL, whatever it is. Then they came out with the 3DS. Then they came out with the 3DS XL, which is the newest one. And so there's annoyance in there. The same hardware over again. But the really annoying thing is the same games. So I've got Super Mario Brothers, and that was great. Then it came with Super Mario Brothers 2, and that game was different, you know. And, you know, people say, well, that's because it was Doki Doki Panic. But really, if you look at the Wikipedia article on it, it was actually intended to be Mario originally, but then it wasn't working out at first, so then they scrapped it, but then this TV company wanted to have a game based on their characters, so they made that game that they had scrapped into Doki Doki Panic. And then when Super Mario Bros. 2 J, or Japan, came out, Nintendo America's like, this game is way too hard, and they're right. The game is ridiculously hard, and, you know, would have been really bad if they actually brought it to this country. So they actually took Doki Doki Panic and turned it back to Mario. But anyways, that game was different. It was fun. It was like, I'm not playing Super Mario Brothers again. I'm playing a whole different game. And then they came up with Mario Brothers 3. And it's like Super Mario Brothers 2, but it's also like Super Mario Brothers 1. And it's also new. You've got the map. You got whole new power-ups. Bowser comes back, but things are different. You know, you got some of the songs coming back, but not exactly. So it's a different game. It's new. But now, you know, 3 Mario Brothers games. And I feel like I'm playing the same game over again. They're, you know, at least they're changing things up. And then they came out with Super Mario World. And that game, while some could say it's a lot like Super Mario Bros. 3, it was very different. The gameplay, the physics were different in it. The graphics were different. You're kind of getting impressed by the graphics. So that was fun, and it was different, but it was the same. And then they came out with Yoshi's Island, and that's a completely different game. But it's Super Mario World 2, and you're riding, you're playing as Yoshi. You got Mario in your back, but he's a baby. And the graphics are just really great. I mean, Yoshi's Island is an awesome game. The levels, the design, the theme song, the music, the way things work, great game. It's just a great game. And then Mario 64 came out, and that is just so different. I mean, essentially Mario, but it's a different game too at the same time. So there was really, I really can't complain about that. But then they, then the GameCube comes out, and they make Super Mario Sunshine. And I don't know, that game didn't do it for me. And that was, you know, it wasn't a very good game. It got annoying. There's like a lot of noise. There's like levels all over the place, things to collect everywhere. You don't know where you're going next. I mean, really, you really got to go. Here's the next level. You know, the castle in Mario 64. Very obvious. You got a door. That's a world. You know, there's maps. I mean, there's signs. There's paintings on the wall. And you jump in them. You know, in this one, you got to find the little thing. You got to wash off the thing. Why do I got to wash it off? Really? I got this water backpack, right? So I can wash it off. I get it. You use the backpack. But I don't need to do that. It's just wasting my time to wash it off. Why don't I just jump in it? There's no reason to do that. You're just annoying me. So those kind of things. And it's like, that's what it's like. You know, you're just, it's gotten annoying. And you're not Mario anymore. You're Mario with his jetpack on, water jetpack. And the gameplay is completely wrecked. The best levels were the ones where the jetpack is taken from you. So I never even finished that game. I played quite a bit of it. And meanwhile, I'm just suffering playing it. And then the Wii comes out. I didn't get any of the Mario Galaxy games. I mean, I know people say they're really good, but again, it's the same game. Is it Mario? I mean, I see you're running up on a ball. You know, you're running on planets. That's great. But that doesn't, it doesn't feel like I'm playing a whole new game. It feels like I'm just playing Mario 64, but I'm just running on balls or planets. I'm sure a lot of you guys would disagree with me on that one. And this is DS. You got new Super Mario Brothers. And I'm not even going to talk about all the re-releases of the other games. Like they remade Yoshi's Island, but they added more to it, you know, or the other games. And it's like, you know, at least they were on portable systems when they did that. So you're just, okay, I just want to take it on the go with me. So I'm buying, you know, whatever it is, Super Mario Advance 2, which is Mario Brothers 3, Mario Brothers, Super Mario Advance 1 is Mario Bros. 2. I don't even remember what the names are, but at least that you're playing, it's like you're not, you know you're buying the same game, but you're buying it for a portable system, so you can play it somewhere. You know, and they did some changes to it. But, you know, and new Super Mario Brothers on the DS, it was great. It's like, oh, I'm like playing Super Mario Brothers, but, you know, some different things to it, and that was fun. But then they just made it again on the Wii. But then they kind of, you know, it's like, I don't know. You just keep making the same games over and over. And, you know, I like Mario, but at least when I was playing Mario on the NES, they made other games. They made, you know, they made Kid Icarus. Now you can say, well, they make Kid Icarus for the 3DS, but that's not what I'm talking about. Yes, they already made Kid Icarus. You know, the last game I could think of that Nintendo made that was original was Pikmin. And they've already made Pikmin 2, and they re-released it on the Wii. You know, Nintendo is just making the same games over and over again. I'm not going to buy Mario again. Like, now, so they made new Super Mario Brothers on the DS. Then they make it for the Wii. Then they make new Super Mario Brothers 3D? I forget what they call that one. Or new Super Mario Bros. 2 on the 3DS. So now they've made it again. And they just came out with that game, and they announced the Wii U with New Super Mario Bros. U. Now, what? Why? And people are all going crazy over this. It's the same game. Yeah, new levels. You know what? They could have just given you download new levels for New Super Mario Bros. Or, you know, whatever, for the Wii version. Like, you know, it's like they're just selling you. They just took the same. They took the game they already had, and they made more levels for it, and they made the one 3D, which that's not hard. All you gotta do is turn on the 3D mode, you know. It's already rendering it. It's not like they had to do anything special. And the Mario 3D World Land, whatever it is, I've not played that one. I'm not gonna judge that one. I know it's short, but I watched some video of it, and it looks like you're playing Mario 64 for the most part, which, you know, Mario 64 is a great game, but it's Mario 64. I can get out my N64 and play Mario 64. And matter of fact, they had Mario 64 for the DS. Although the controls suck for it. So, you know, And this is what Nintendo does. Now they're selling you a Wii all over again, and they didn't even bother renaming it this time. They just put a stuff on U on the end. And they're selling, so now they're selling you a Wii with this crazy-ass controller that looks like the DS and a DualShock controller and a iPad had babies. And this is what came out. It's huge. And the screen doesn't look like it's all that high resolution. Doesn't look like it's anything special. I mean, LCD screens are cheap nowadays. I mean, they make these Chinese things with LCD screens on them. So, you know, I don't really understand where they're going with that. You know, you can take a game off and, you know, like, oh, I'm playing a TV and I'm going to play on the thing. Why? I'm playing a TV or I'm playing portable. That thing's not portable. You know, you still have to be wired, connected to your Wii U. So you can't leave the house with it and play, I assume, because that's what they said. It's like, you know, it's like it's actually just streaming the game or whatever. I'm sure you could probably play some things on the go, but really it's meant to stay in the house. So, you know, I guess they're adding the touch features from the DS into a home console. It's just complex. It's adding complexity to it. So essentially, they've just done what they did wrong with their systems before. They've made a controller that looks unwieldy. I gotta tell you, and the price is way too high. $299 for the base unit. I just don't see it selling a lot. I could be wrong. I'm sure some people will get all crazy about it and buy it. But I don't see, like with the Wii, a lot of parents bought it because it looks simple. Oh, it's got a simple controller. I remember it's just like the NES. It looks just like an NES controller. I can play that and I can swing it too. You know, and old folks play the bowling on it, you know, and that's how the commercials. But this looks like, you know, the name was Wii, you know, us or we, you know, new ones, you. So now it's become more of a solitary, it seems more solitary game. You know, you can apparently hook two of those controllers up. I'm sure it's going to be expensive. And the other weird thing is now you're paying for the amount of memory in it, whereas the Wii, you could just put an SD card in it. You could put, you know, whatever size SD card you want in it. You buy the card, put it in. But now you've got to buy, you got an 8 meg and you got a 32 meg. Now, who's going to buy the 8 meg? I certainly wouldn't, for I only spend $50 more and get the 32 meg. It's like buying the 360 without a hard drive in it. But at least with the 360, you could change the hard drive in it. But it doesn't look like this, you can change it. So now, I mean, maybe this, when they say 8 meg and 32 meg, it's actually including a memory card. I don't know. I don't know the details on it. But if it's like the iPad, where you get an 8 meg iPad, or you can get a 32 meg or 16 meg iPad, you know, you're never going to want to buy the small one because you're going to, and it's like only gigs, 8 gigs. How many games can you put in that? I mean, like, in this game, you know, this system is going to be, like, Nintendo's moving more towards downloadable games. So is Sony, so is Microsoft, and that's just the future of it. So, you know, how many games are you going to fit in 8 megs? That's not a lot. You're not going to fit a lot in that size memory. You're going to want the 32. I mean, geez, the Xbox 360 came with 32 meg hard drive at the lowest level, unless you got the arcade, and the arcade didn't even come out when the system came out. So, you know, that's just crazy. It's just crazy, and the price is too high. You could buy a 360. A 360 is more powerful than that. You know, I mean, I don't care what anybody says. I can tell. I can look at it. You see the games. The games don't look like something they look like less than what the 360 can do. You know, and the 360 is old. You know, Ben Heckendorn said in a tweet just recently, he said if the current generation of consoles were the Super Nintendo in terms of how long they've been around, that Half-Life would have been on the SNES. And that, he's right. I looked at it. I figured it out. He's right. Totally right. So these consoles, the 360, the PS, and the Wii, have been around for, was it 7 years now? I think it's 7 years. A long time. So, you know, Nintendo, I used to love you. I got my Donkey Kong arcade cabinet. I got my Donkey Kong Jr. I got my old NES. I got all those old games, but I'm not going to buy a Wii U. You know, unless there's something my daughter really wants, and that's for my kids. But for me, I'm not getting a Wii U. I wasn't going to get the Wii, but I bought it used. So probably if I get a Wii U, it'll probably be used too. And I don't see myself even getting that. I think Nintendo's making a huge mistake. Probably will sell in Japan. I don't see it going to sell. I don't think it's going to sell a lot in the United States. Because people are going to look at it and they're going to be like, that looks like an iPad. So they're going to think, I'm buying an iPad. Well, if I'm buying an iPad, why don't I just buy an iPad? You know, and I got these crazy controls. The screen looks small because you're comparing it to an iPad. So, you know. So there's my rant about Nintendo. I'm almost home. My commute's almost over. Thanks for listening, guys. I don't know if anybody listened to my rant going on and on and on and on about this, but this is just me talking. It actually makes my drive home a little less boring. Before, I used to listen to music or listen to something, and I figured, you know, I got all this time in the car. I might as well make a podcast. So thanks for listening. I'm going to just keep trying this, see how long it goes. So this is the end of episode number 2, and see you again next time.